It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live to Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on a Feel Good Football Friday wildcard weekend.
Time to get our freak on, baby.
What does that exactly mean?
I don't know. It's the last hour of a feel-good Friday, and I feel good.
Yes, I do too. I'm energized. I'm ready. Been waiting for these games for a long time. We got hopefully another great college football playoff game tonight, and then into wild card weekend. Couple of things I wanted to throw at you with the Jets, though.
Bring it on, man.
Aaron Glenn was supposed to interview yesterday with the Jets. I'm assuming that he did and completed that interview.
They're doing a lot of video interviews as opposed to in-person interviews, so you know. A lot of these teams are.
Well, you do that first, and then if you like the guy, and maybe you narrow it down, and you do the in-person, one of those things. And the other one is Newsday had Mike Greenberg, the Bucks Mike Greenberg, on the back page, the sports page, saying, bring him home.
Oh, there you go.
So they got Newsday's trying to get Mike Greenberg, a Long Island guy who grew up a Jets fan, to get that job. And he is a really, really bright guy. We had him on as a guest. He could be, as you said, the David Stearns of the Jets.
100%.
But there would be some trepidation if I were Mike Greenberg, being the general manager, that being my childhood team, coming back home, because it's a great story. It really is. It's a great story if you come in and you turn the team around. It's not such a great story if you don't. And you've talked about the other side of things when you're playing in your hometown. And there's players get it, offensive coordinators get it, head coaches get it, general managers get it. I mean, we can rattle off the worst general managers in New York right off the top of our head.
Yes.
And does Mike Greenberg want to take that risk? You got to believe in yourself, but at the same time, it might be easier to, let's say, fail in Tennessee than it would be to fail as the Jet GM.
You know, I'm not saying that this guy should be for the Jets, but, you know, it's interesting that the Raiders fired Tom Telesco. He, you know, was a GM for a long time with the Spanos family out there with the Chargers, and they had very competitive teams. They just could never win a Super Bowl, but they were always competitive. They got the quarterbacks. They had Drew Brees. They drafted Phillip Rivers. You know, he got out there. They always were competitive. I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, he's another guy that has real experience in the league and is a pretty good talent evaluator and knows the inner workings of the league. I wonder if he is up for any of these jobs that are open right now. There's only two of them open. One would be the Jets, and the other one, obviously, he just got fired for.
Right. So now you've got, the three openings.
Did they throw him in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, the Jets are interviewing everybody. And the only people that they're not interviewing are, you know, Ben Johnson and John Gruden. Those are the two guys that they're not interviewing. Everybody else has been interviewed as a head coach and all the GM candidates as well.
Again, I went back and asked a couple people that I do know that are in the NFL offices here in New York, names not to be mentioned, and just threw that whole thing by them that you had said yesterday about Roger Goodell and all this other stuff. And they all swear to me that, you know, Roger does not get involved with individual teams when it comes to who they're hiring or firing. The only way he would get involved is if there was a violation of the Rooney Rule. Then he would definitely get involved. Now, I believe these people because every piece of information that I have ever been given, it has been accurate to a point where I can be very comfortable saying something on the air here that people may not have heard before. And I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, and they're not protecting their jobs. They're not trying to protect Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell's got enough stuff coming at him. But they say there is no way, shape, or form that he is getting involved in individual team decisions when it comes to who they should hire, who they shouldn't hire, who they should fire, and who they shouldn't fire.
Yeah, I mean, and that is, and I'll believe everything from your sources as well. My take on this was that this is a very unique situation. Of course, Roger Goodell's not going to go to the Jets and be like, you shouldn't hire this guy, you should hire that guy, when it comes to guys that don't have things in the past like John Gruden. However, you know, this John Gruden situation, there is a lawsuit. He did say lots of things about Roger Goodell and also the end hate campaign, end racism campaign, all of the things that the NFL puts out there. You know, when John Gruden comes back, if John Gruden comes back into the league, all of those words that he had in those emails are going to bubble up to the surface, and it's just not something that I think the league would want to deal with.
All right, so you know, I'm a normally just like you. We're South Shore, Long Island guys, mm-hmm. so we are born with this cynicism within us.
Indeed,
we don't trust anything that we see. Sometimes we are very cynical about things that are said, the way that we look at things, what goes on in politics. Fine, you've worked with me for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I've come here with a number of things that, you know, nobody's ever talked about before. And I think it's good news for sports fans. So I bring it to our program. We talk about it. And then eventually what I say ends up happening because I have certain people in my life that give me the honest truth when I ask them a direct question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like what I'm telling you now is...
I just said I believe you.
I know, but I yeah. just... I just... I didn't feel like a real support. I just felt like, I believe you. Like,
well,
that wasn't my point.
I do find it interesting that not a single owner is going to bring in John Gruden for an interview. I mean, not one of these openings. Just bring him in, talk to him. You don't have to hire him. I mean, he's not on anybody's list. I mean, the New York Jets are interviewing. I mean, they interviewed Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan, for God's sakes. And like, you can't bring in Gruden for just a chat?
Well, the other thing about this particular situation, you know, they wouldn't give me any sort of accurate statements regarding any other things that may be attached to that lawsuit, you know, because they couldn't mm-hmm. talk about it. And because I thought that maybe there was something else in the lawsuit when it comes to discovery. I don't know if they've gone to discovery yet or not, that somebody else found out about something else and that it's worse than it actually is. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that would be something that would make sense to me if that were going on.
And that's why I was wondering, like, why nobody is interviewing him now. It's 2025. He's gone through his penalty phase. He stepped away. Then he ended up getting, I'm sure, contacted by a labor lawyer who decided, look, you got a case here. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's not going to happen, but I would love to speak candidly to John Gruden about why he thinks that nobody is knocking on his door. I'd love to hear that because I'm sure he's got takes.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a lot of hot takes. Well, we see them on Barstool.
We do, but I'm talking about his own personal situation, which he has not talked about at all since being at Barstool. He's not, as far as I know, he hasn't talked about getting jobs, not getting jobs, interviews. I haven't seen any of that.
It's probably off limits when he signed the contract. Just, you know, none of that stuff. I don't want to get into it. It's not, you know, I've said what I've said. I got a lawsuit and I can't really talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, he is phenomenal. And we knew he was phenomenal doing all those games, you know, with Monday Night Football. But, I mean, in this role here, he is just perfect. Even when it's not the sports stuff, it's some of the other man stuff that Barstool is doing. He's just great at it. So even if he doesn't get another look, I hope he sticks with them so we can easily get to his content. Let's go to Vince, who's in Trenton, New Jersey. What's going on, Vince?
I'm a fan. Hey, guys. Big Rams fan, dating back till Vince Ferragamo, almost as old as I am.
All right.
Here's the only thing that bugs me with this. There's nothing we can do. It's a tragedy, et cetera. It's the surface. The Rams are significantly better on artificial surface. And I actually mapped out something in my head where they could get to the title game. I'm not afraid of anybody, but this grass surface is a big thing for the Rams. On how they play, I watch every week. And that's the only part that bugs me, that they're going to have to go to a grass surface.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, rooting for a team that is in a dome and an artificial surface. I always felt like, you know, once you get them outdoors in January in these playoff games, that's why it's so important to get the number one seed. I know exactly what you're talking about. However, this still is an indoor stadium. Yes, they move the grass in and out of it, but it's still an indoor stadium. Yes, the surface does matter. I don't think... Personally, that's going to play into it as much.
It's just a neutral site stadium, and I can't imagine Arizona Cardinal fans who want to go see a football game like this are going to be rooting for the Rams.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, how did they do out there?
But I also know that it's the only option. It's the only option that makes any sense for everybody involved. And it's a great stadium. It's a great stadium to play in. And the Rams are very familiar with that stadium. I'm sure the Vikings have played there a number of times.
They played there this year.
They did. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everybody's used to the stadium. So it's a neutral site for sure. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the what the fan configuration looks like for the game.
So the game with the LA Rams going to Arizona this year, it was very early on. It was week three, I believe, or week two, actually.
And everybody was hurt for the Rams. Or did they get hurt that game?
Well, Stafford played. Did Nacua? He probably didn't. Nacua did not play in that game. Cooper Kupp did. But Puka did not. He got hurt week one. They lost 41-10 out there in that game, the Rams did. So maybe that's why our buddy who just called in has the memories that he has.
The only thing I could tell you, and I'm sure Jim Harbaugh was this way, and I'm sure Sean McVay is the same way. You know, you walk in there, and there are no excuses. Given what our community has just gone through, there are no excuses. We don't have any excuses. We just do what we do. We go out, we play hard for our community, and we think about them when we're playing, and we give a maximum effort. That's, I would think, how both the Chargers and Rams are approaching their playoff games.
All right, ready for Rams on grass here this year?
Yes.
Rams go to Chicago, lose 24-18. Rams go to Seattle. Is that field turf?
No, it's field turf.
Okay.
That's outside, but it's field turf.
And Rams go to the Patriots. Grass?
Field turf.
That's field turf, too?
Yep.
Huh. All right. Rams go to the Niners.
Grass.
They won 12-6. Rams go to... That's it. So they're really... There's really not a lot of examples.
I know, maybe like he's a Rams fan, like you're a Vikings fan, and you have a certain sense of your team about where they're playing and whether or not they have a chance. Like you say, if they go to the Eagles, they don't have a shot.
That's what I believe, yeah.
You said if they went to the Seattle Seahawks, they didn't have a shot.
They won that game, but the Eagles are a better team.
Yeah.
I've said,
I think that Rams fan that called in is like, you are as a Vikings fan. He knows his team and where they win and lose.
Yeah, but they also won a Super Bowl, so he can, you know, zip it. Like, I haven't seen my team win a Super Bowl. You can't be all that negative when you watch your team win a Super Bowl.
I wasn't trying to say anything other than he has a better understanding.
Oh, yeah.
A longer-term understanding about their situation. I mean, they used to play on grass all the time.
Yeah. Well, let's hope, for my sake.
When they were outside and down in, where the Anaheim.
Okay.
Where the Angels play.
Right. You ever been to that stadium?
Yeah, I played in it.
Okay.
Threw for 494 yards in that game, bitch.
That was a pretty stupid question.
Yeah.
Because I have been there for a baseball game, so I was just throwing that off the top of my head.
We played in the most, it was the most beautiful, glorious day playing out there.
Sort of like today, right? You know, 28 degrees, 40-mile-an-hour winds.
I think it was the fourth game of the season. 1990, I think. 1990.
All right, we got to look this up. I know Funhouse probably has a highlight all ready to go.
I want to say I think 1990.
1990, week four?
I believe so.
Rams?
Yep.
Who you playing with?
Bengals.
Bengals, Rams?
Yeah.
All right.
So week five.
Oh, week five. So it was Jim Everett was the other quarterback.
When you think of Jim Everett, what do you think of right off the top of your head?
Well, Jim Rome,
Dabs,
of course.
Yep. See?
But Jim was a hell of a quarterback, man. I think he threw for like 350 that game, I think.
Was that a work, Al? The Jim Rome, Jim Everett thing?
No, I don't believe so. I've heard both talk about it. I do not believe that was a work.
I always thought it was.
Who do you think came out the loser in that look?
Jim Everett.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's not a work.
Well, but he could have pummeled Jim Rome. He really just pushed him down over the table and didn't throw any punches. He could have crushed that guy.
He got it. He got all of his frustrations out. How many yards did Jim Everett throw in that game?
Chrissy Everett.
Please hold.
Okay.
Let's see. Jim Everett, he 372.
372.
Wow, what a barn burner.
You threw 490.
Woof, let's go.
I thought it was 494. They took 4 yards away from him. Away.
Yeah. Let's go.
Three touchdowns. Only sacked one time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what you were doing in that stadium. I was just watching the Mets play the Angels with Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts at a game in June. Yeah, a little bit different.
That was the game after we came into the locker room. There were about 50 women reporters because of what happened the week before in Seattle. Yeah.
That's right, where Sam Weish kicked the woman out.
Yeah, or didn't allow her in. He didn't kick her out. Oh, okay. He just didn't allow the one woman reporter, string writer for USA Today, Denise Tom, did not allow her into the locker room.
Right, and then like...
And then I had to go out of the locker room to go talk to her, and I felt awful for her.
Right, and the entire student body of Wesleyan was in the locker room
the next week, yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network this morning. Jordan Ranon, the Giants beat reporter for ESPN, put out a lengthy article detailing some of the behind-the-scenes things that led the Giants to go 3-14 on the season. One of those stories was about cornerback Nick McCloud, who they asked to take a pay cut, according to the story, in the middle of the season. And then Joe Shane told the agent, as soon as I can get rid of this guy, I'm going to get rid of him, and how that reverberated through the locker room because McCloud was a liked player. His locker was between Brian Burns and Darius Slayton, who were two respected veterans. So that was something where trust was sort of broken, apparently, according to the story. So there's some interesting stuff in there. I recommend if you're a Giants fan, you want a little bit more of a insight into how the hell your team went to 3-14. Jordan Ranon put out a lengthy article.
Well, all right. So in my eyes, you know, so he played for the Bills, and I'm sure that Joe Shane and he...
Nick McCloud, you're talking
Nick
about.
Nick McCloud. Yeah. He played for the Bills. And I want to say he played for the Bills 2021. Shane got here when?
22.
So I think Shane probably knew him from his days at the Bills. I'm assuming that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that he saw something in this player and gave him a contract to stay here. And the contract was pretty big, I thought, when they gave it to him. What was like?
Well, no, he only had like a 1 year, $2.98 million contract for 24.
That's still a lot of money for a guy that's been bouncing around.
Yeah, I mean, relative to these other salaries.
And he obviously did other things, and maybe up there in Buffalo that they saw. And maybe when he first got here, he was... looked like a reasonably good player, but then there were issues that arose either on the field, off the field. You never know. But what you read me about supposedly what Joe Shane said to the agent is I actually appreciate that, man.
And for the ruthlessness? I guess the problem is, though, when you're being that ruthless as a GM, which you want him to be, and your record is what it is and the team sucks, it's hard to...
But maybe the team sucks because he's making the wrong player picks. Like, whatever happened with Nick McCloud and the Giants... led to an unfortunate cutting and getting rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this stuff. And you don't know if Nick McCloud is telling his teammates this is what Joe Shane said to the agent, and he may be embellishing some of it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do trust the reporting from Jordan. So, I mean, I don't think he's...
No, I don't think he's lying about it, but I'm just... The question is the friction between the front office and the player, and then the player telling the other players this is what happened. So...
Well, this stuff happens on losing teams, you tell me all the time.
I mean, those are the landmines.
Right, right.
That the coach has got to deal with.
Yep. And there, he said a lot of players, you know what, I should use the exact wording that he said, but there were players that were surprised that Brian Daboll being retained. I know there were others that wanted to keep him, but he said that he spoke to players that were surprised that he was retained.
Wouldn't that always be the case, though? There'd be some guys that don't like the coach, others that love him, and all in between.
Don't you wish the coach would be like, you know, yeah, I'm surprised that we kept some of these players. They mm-hmm. suck.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go back and forth all day long, you know, tit for tat with these kind of arguments and all this inside information that is seen from one side only.
Yeah. You know, he talks about in this article the line that you brought up about that's what happens when you get good quarterback play. That is talked about in this article. Yeah. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Dr. Jay Shah at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. You've got that. I've got, according to Jim Duquette, reporting a little while ago, SNY put out a tweet just a little while ago that says, Pete Alonso's reps have offered the Mets a 3-year deal with opt-outs. Duquette adding, I guess, in the story, the deal only available to the Mets right now. Whatever that means.
Well, whatever the amount of money it was, like 3 years, $90 million. Is that what it is with opt outs?
It could be.
I think in order to, so here's the thing about Pete Alonso. He bet on himself last year because they offered him a contract. He said no.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we talk about players betting on themselves and it working out. And we say, good, you bet on yourself. That's great. You deserve all the money. Pete bet on himself. Yeah, he hits home runs. Yeah, he knocks in some RBIs. But all the other numbers, all the other metrics that they measure these guys with and his age go against signing a long-term contract. Yep. That's all there is to it. So this seems to be like meeting halfway, if you can say that. And then maybe he's betting on himself again. But, you know, it's not going to get any easier for Pete.
I mean, if the Mets can sign him to a three-year deal, I would do it immediately because that's that is the longest deal that I would sign Pete Alonso
to. But it depends on what the number is. Like, if you're going to say, all right, 3 years, $27 million a year, 3 years, $25 million a year, three years, yeah. $30 million a year.
But I mean, Cohen's made it clear that that doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter. What matters is being stuck in a contract year in and year out with a guy who doesn't produce.
You know, the unfortunate thing is that Pete had an opportunity to sign a long term contract and he declined.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, worked out for Aaron Judge, worked out for Juan Soto. Well, Pete Alonso isn't those guys.
Yeah,
all true.
And older, by the way, when you know he was betting on himself.
Well, he was same age as Judge was.
He just didn't have the season Judge had.
Right. I mean, Judge had a historical season. Pete Alonso was bleh.
Right. You know what? We interrupt this for a potential, it's possible, political ad.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing 2028 presidential candidate Boomer Esiason and his philosophy.
Come up with policies that make sense so both animal and people can live together. Both animal and people can live together.
Man, what a platform to run on.
Because you can't argue with that.
No, you can't. That guy kind of cuts both ways.
Come up with policies for both animal and people can live together.
Yeah. Sounds like so good about that. I actually feel good about that.
Sounds like some out of the Constitution.
That's why I feel good about it.
Like what are you talking about? Like humans and dogs in the same house, or like?
No, I'm talking about fish and humans out in L.A. Oh, God.
I don't know how we kept it together when he said that.
Well, because I was very serious and we were talking about a very serious topic.
I know.
I
looked up at Roscona and then he started laughing and then I started laughing during my read. But we were talking about the fires and it was you couldn't laugh in that spot.
Yeah, I read a long article yesterday that I was going to send to you, but I know that you wouldn't have read it. And I wish you would have read it.
That's not true. You can't say that I didn't send it to you because I know you weren't going to read it.
Well, I knew you weren't going to read it.
That's not true. Yeah, you don't know that. Don't put it on me. You didn't send it to me.
Kind of know that you wouldn't read it.
So. It'd be great to see the political signs on lawns. Boomer Esiason. People and animals. Yeah. Together.
Right. Once again. Really? In harmony.
It's a man holding a deer hoof. Together.
Actually, I should hold a fish.
Come up with policies that make sense so both animal and people can live together. Both animal and people can live together.
How could you vote against that? You really can't. Nobody is going to oppose that view.
That's true.
Really.
The singular animal, too, is great. Not animals. Animal yeah. And people.
Thank you, guys. It was early. It was early. Oh, boy. Jerry, hit me up.
What's that?
Oh, God.
Oh, he's reaching for the bat.
Okay. It's like, I'm just picturing Eddie going, finally, something I can agree with. Finally, we're on the same page. Yes, animal and people together is one. Like me and the bison. In Jackson Hole.
Notre Dame beat Penn State at the Orange Bowl. 27-24. A big mistake down the stretch, though, from the Penn State quarterback.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes. Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, that was Notre Dame radio. They were fired up, as you can imagine. And so 33 seconds to go, they would get a few plays in, and then they would line up for the go-ahead, and turned out to be the game-winning field goal. This is now Penn State radio with the game-winning call, as it turned out.
Jeter, kick for the lead. It's up. The kick by Jeter is good.
and Notre Dame takes the lead 27-24 with 7 seconds to play.
And that would be the final score as they win and advance. Sneaks inside that right upright. Penn State Radio again, the call there. Here was Christian Gray. So he's the one that set this whole thing up and got the wheels in motion for them to be able to kick that game-winning field goal or go-ahead field goal. What were you thinking after that interception?
To be honest with you, I really didn't think about anything after I caught the ball. I just knew I was just blessed, you know, and I just felt God over me after I caught the ball. So pretty much, yeah.
All right, so he was in a good place. Drew Aller, what were you thinking with the pick?
I was going through my progression, got to the backside, and honestly, I was just trying to dirt it at his feet, but I mean, I should have just thrown it away when I felt the first two progressions not open just because of the situation we were in. But I was just trying to dirt it at Amari's feet, but just didn't execute what I was trying to do.
No. And so their season comes to an end. Here's their head coach, James Franklin.
I love every guy in that locker room. I love every person in that locker room. Proud of them. Played our tails off.
Just came up short.
Marcus Freeman, 39 years old, 6 children.
No kidding.
Yeah, that is a lot. A lot of kids.
That's a big house.
It's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of chaos, as they say. The Irish will play the winner of tonight's Cotton Bowl winner between Ohio State and Texas in the national championship game on Monday, January 20th. All right, from the NFL, we've talked obviously all morning about the horrific instances going on in Los Angeles with the wildfires. We know about the game being moved to Monday night to Arizona from Los Angeles for the Vikings and the Rams. Tomorrow, you've got the Chargers in Houston. Here's one more from Jim Harbaugh I didn't get to this morning. Just talking about how, as they were preparing for this game, how they dealt with the air quality while being on the practice field and the fires relatively close to them.
We went by the reducing the amount of time, all the recommendations from the experts, reduced the amount of time that they were outside and reduced the intensity of the workout.
And they'll be in.
I was wondering if they had that. I wonder if they have an indoor facility there.
They do. Yeah, no, they do. But I do think they spent some time, as he said, outside and some time inside as they get ready for tomorrow. You got the Ravens and the Steelers tomorrow night as well. You got the 3 games on Sunday, ending with the Commanders and Bucks. And then, of course, you've got the Vikings and Rams on Monday night. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence met the media Thursday. Here was Lawrence on Doug Peterson being let go.
It's unfortunate, I guess is the best way to put it, just because you feel like you wish you could have done more and you wish you would have won more games. If you asked any of us going into this season, no one would have thought Coach Peterson would have been fired at the end of the year. And you just see the way the year went, and it's just disappointing. So I think it's a weird feeling, but you do understand it's part of the business.
And for someone like him, because his name hasn't been anywhere, obviously, he'd take a year off, right? You wouldn't jump right back into it.
That's what he did last time when he got fired from Philadelphia. So I would think so. I don't know. The way it ended in Philadelphia and the way this thing transformed, I thought he was going to be the right coach for that team and that quarterback, but it didn't turn out that way. It's unfortunate, man.
Yep. NBA tonight, Knicks and Thunder at the Garden. You got the Nets on the road in Denver on the Fan at 8:50. Yet another win for the Cavs. Beat the Raptors. Make it 12 straight. They go to 33-4 on the season. College basketball, number 20, Purdue beat Rutgers 68-50. Hofstra losing to Charleston 67-61. On the ice, your Rangers with a big night.
Back pass, Jack Hughes. Nice play by Carrick. Rangers break out. Riley Smith, 2-on-1.
And that was Sam Rosen on MSG. 3-2, the final. Head coach Peter Laviolette, yeah, needed it.
The win's big. You know, when you're trying to push up the ladder, the 2 points and the win are the biggest thing. You'd like to see the game, you know, match it, the score. And I actually thought it did. Like, I thought we played really well.
And they get the
It was a good game. And by the way, Sam Carrick is a fourth-line center for us, and he does a good job. He's penalty kill, the whole thing. It was interesting. Timo Meier was the guy that was back on defense. If that were a defenseman, they would have played it much differently than he did. But when you get stuck with a forward on 3-on-3 playing defense, sometimes they're not really sure where to go and how to handle a 2-on-1. So he was really put in a bad position.
And I know Lou Lamoriello said the Islanders are in an okay place. Need to just start playing a little bit better. They did shut out the Golden Knights 4-0. Here is Patrick Waugh.
All you want as a coach to see some consistency, and it's exactly what we had tonight. It was a great team effort. Everybody played really well.
Goals from Anders Lee, Brock Nelson, and Bo Horvat. Ilya Sorokin made 30 saves on the night. All right, and with that, as the Islanders and Rangers both win, the Devils fall to the Blue Shirts. Moment of the day, although I kind of like what we just did. But we were going through the verbal sparring between Jason Whitlock and Cam Newton 2 hours ago, and after this clip I'm about to play, Gio had an interesting thought. Now here's Whitlock reacting to Cam Newton reacting to him.
I want to, best I can, play somewhat nice with you, Cam, because I feel sorry for you, and not in a condescending or I'm trying to degrade you. But when you're born with as much physical skill and talent as a Cam Newton, it diminishes your intellectual evolution.
That says,
imagine
one.
If I said that to you.
You see this Eric LeGrand coffee cup?
Yeah, really.
Where would it end up?
The last day I saw this Eric.
There you go.
Man, I'll tell you why you guys took shots at me today, boy. Wow. Nonstop.
Well,
yeah. Appreciate it.
You know,
these things happen.
Listen, I just want animal and people to be able to live together.
They're eating the dog.
You need to get away from that.
Yes. They're eating the pets.
Oh, my God. CBS Sports Network has an AI picture of Boomer standing in front of the White House with an Animal Rights Matter picture that he's holding.
Come up with policies that make sense so both animal and people can live together.
They're eating the cats.
Very good, Jerry. Thank you.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
The Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. All of us finished under 500 for the regular season. I did finish in first, but I feel shame for doing that. But we're going to keep it going because it's close, so why not? We'll go through the playoffs and crown a champion at the end of that. Last year, I had a big enough lead where we didn't continue through the playoffs because no one could catch me. But after a 1-4 week last week for me, Jerry's only a game behind me and Boomer's 2 games behind me.
Right
so.
There.
Right there is right, as Jerry has had a massive comeback. So we'll see if he'll be the Cincinnati Bengals or he'll actually make the playoffs and make a run here to the final. All right, Jerry, let's go through the wild card weekend game.
All right, here we go. Saturday, we kick things off with the Chargers in Houston. The Texans at home, if I saw this correctly, +2.5.
So they're +2.5. So, you know, for me, I think the Chargers are a hot team. I think they're coming into this game hot. I just wonder about C.J. Stroud being re-engaged and playing the way he should be able to play. And I remember what happened last year to the Browns. They got smoked last year. So this could be a little bit of a hornet's nest for Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. Like I said, I think that these teams coming from L.A. got a little extra play for. I'm going to take the L.A. Chargers, and I think they cover.
The Texans were playing horrible football for a long time. They had their starters start the Week 18 game, and they went right down the field, scored a touchdown. It seemed like there was a monkey off their back. However, you know, that one drive in a meaningless football game, I believe against the Colts or the Titans, does not make me think that they are back. I got to stick with this. I said that the team that ends up playing the Texans, I'm 100% picking regardless of the spread. So I will also go with the L.A. Chargers.
I don't want to do that, but I am. I'm taking the Chargers, too. I think it's time Justin Herbert starts getting moving here in the postseason. I'll take the Chargers -2.5 as well. Game number 2 on Saturday night. The Steelers in Baltimore, the Ravens a big, fat 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to take T.J. Watt for his word. I mean, I think he's sick and tired of losing. I don't think they're going to win here, but I think they will cover with, you said, 9.5, right?
9.5.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lamar played a great game the last time these two teams met, kind of got that off of his back and was able to actually have a pretty positive game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and feel good about beating them. I think they're going to win, but I think these games are normally tight between these two teams, and I'm going to go back to what it normally is as opposed to what it was the last time they met. I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers and the 9.5 points.
Yeah, I agree with all those tight games and all that theory, but the Steelers have been so bad. I mean, they are on a run of losing. They can't do anything right. Russell Wilson was really good for them and now has been really bad for them. Their defense isn't the same. T.J. Watt isn't 100%.
healthy. I think that they stick in this game in the first half, and it'll be close and be one of those bruiser games in the first half. But this will definitely be a game that gets away from the Steelers in the fourth quarter. They will win, the Ravens, that is, by 10 points or more. So give me Baltimore.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you again because I can't make up any ground. But I think this is the worst game of the weekend. I think Baltimore rolls over Pittsburgh, who have played lousy of late. So I will take Baltimore minus 9.5. We've got a triple header for you on Sunday. And it starts at Orchard Park. It's going to be cloudy and cold, but for these two teams, it doesn't matter. The Broncos at the Bills, Buffalo minus 8.5.
You know, if there were a team that could actually go up there and play these guys tough, it would be the Broncos, cold weather team. They got a hell of a head coach. They got a rookie quarterback that's in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year. The way he played last week against a, you know, Chiefs team that sat down many of their starters was a real good game for him because he needed that. He needed to feel like he could actually win a game and throw as many times as he did. However, saying all of that, I just think this is Josh Allen's year. I don't think you're going to go in there and beat the Bills. I'll lay the points and take the Bills.
Yeah, I was really conflicted with this one, so I started doing deep dives into stats and things about it. And the Bills are the worst against some of the short passing attacks in the league, and that's what the Broncos like to do. However, the Broncos are really good when you can put Patrick Surtain on a number one wide receiver and shut him down, and the Bills don't play that way, so that's going to play into the Bills' hand. I was going back and forth and back and forth. I really just think that the Broncos' defense is going to show up in this game. I think it's going to put a scare into Josh Allen and the Bills, but the Bills will still move on. But give me the Broncos to cover the 8.5.
I will ignore the points. I'm picking the Bills to go to the Super Bowl, so it starts here. I think they beat Denver by 8.5 or more. Game number two, middle game, 4:30 Sunday. The Packers in Philly against the Eagles. The Eagles minus 4.5.
And Justin, Jalen Hurts will end up playing in this game. I do think that the Eagles are loaded. They have one of the best offensive and defensive line combinations in the NFL. Their offense can run it on anybody, and when you get to this point in the season, you want to be one of those teams, like the Baltimore Ravens, like the Philadelphia Eagles, that can run the football, especially when you're playing outdoors at home in front of your fans. I'm going to lay the 4.5, and I will take the Eagles.
This is one of those spreads that I thought would be much higher once we found out that Jalen Hurts was playing. I think that the Eagles are a significantly better team than the Green Bay Packers. You put in the fact that Jordan Love's got this elbow thing, and he's not 100%, at least not as of yesterday. And it's interesting that the spread is low, which makes me think there's something fishy going on there. But the Eagles are really good on both sides of the ball, so I have to take the Eagles. This might be a sucker bet and looking at that spread and saying it's too low and you got to go with the Eagles, but maybe I'm a sucker. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles.
And I'm going to take the Packers. I think this is one of the best games of the weekend. I think it's close. I don't usually like to pick with the points, but I think it's a field goal game. I will take Green Bay plus the 4.5. All right, Sunday night, Jaden Daniels, his first postseason game, the Commanders in Tampa against Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. Tampa minus 3.
You know what? I'm going to think that this is going to be a high-scoring, high-flying game. Two quarterbacks that give you a lot to look for, chew on, and watch them play, running around, throwing the ball all over the place. They have been electric. Their offenses have been electric. I'm going to take the 3 points, and I will take the Commanders. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders somehow go down there and win. And I think this is one of those games where whoever has the ball last has a chance to win the game.
So because of fantasy football, I've watched every single Commanders game. So I feel like I've got a good beat on this team. And Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and what happened a couple of weeks ago with the Commanders and getting shut down offensively with Terry McLaurin being completely taken out of the game scares me with a head coach like Todd Bowles. Plus, early on in the season, Jaden Daniels was not getting sacked. He wasn't getting sacked. He wasn't throwing interceptions. The protection was good, and when it wasn't good, he was getting away from it. He got sacked 9 times in a game against the Saints, and the pressure on him has been growing every single week. Todd Bowles, rookie quarterback, sending blitzes at him. I love Jaden Daniels. This is not his time. And once you take McLaurin out of the game, I mean, Zacchaeus is a decent wide receiver. Fine. They run the ball with Brian Robinson. I just don't think they're going to keep up with the Buccaneers offense.
Back. Also
Eckler's back, yes. Eckler is back, but I think that Brian Robinson's probably going to get the load of carries. So give me the Buccaneers.
I will take the Buccaneers as well. And Baker, I trust. Tampa minus three. And Monday night, the game that was shifted from Los Angeles to Arizona, Vikings and Rams, Minnesota minus 2.5.
You know, I'll keep it quick. I'm going to take the Vikings here. And the reason I'm going to take the Vikings, I think Kevin O'Connell's going to do a really good job with Sam Darnold and get him back on track. I think this will be a close game. I think it's going to be like a 27-24 type of game. So with that being said, I will take the Vikings winning by a field goal.
This really comes down to one thing for me is, do you trust Sam Darnold bouncing back or not? Do you think that he is now regressed and he has turned into the seeing ghosts guy? Because the worst game that he has played since the seeing ghosts game was last week against the Detroit Lions. So I will have faith in him. This is what Kevin O'Connell does. He's a coddle guy. Sam Darnold needs to be coddled. And they were right in that game with the Lions. He just could not convert in the red zone. I think that they fixed that. Also, that first game against the Rams, Brian Flores admitted, the game that they lost on Thursday night, they were completely taken aback by Puka Nacua coming back that day on a short week, and he was not prepared for that. Well, obviously, he's going to be prepared this time, make it a neutral location. The Vikings are too good to go out in the first round. God, I hope I'm right about this. Give me the Minnesota Vikings moving on.
I would have taken the Rams, I think, if the game was in L.A., but with it being in Arizona, I will also take the Vikings minus the 2.5.
All right, thanks, Jerry. The Boomer Geo Friday Football Picks brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN.